Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soci.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soci. The show is available on iTunes, and like all of the podcasts here at WFYI, are available on Spotify. Well, friends, we got through another week. Hope you're staying safe. Hope you're staying healthy. Hope you're staying sane. Hope you're staying good to one another. And hopefully you got to watch some good movies that are new, or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. And we will get to yours. We will get to the grab a pencil portion of the show in a little bit. Saw nothing new this week because I just didn't have 4 hours in a row to get through, that 4 hour cut. But there's a couple of videos that I got to watch this week. And, yeah, the big news, obviously, Monday morning they announced the Academy Award nominations. And, I remember in previous years, we as members of the IFJA, the Indiana Film Journalists Association, of which I'm a part of, we were debating about streaming. And, well, it really came in handy this year. So I don't know if the movie going experience is going to be the same. Obviously, if it's going to be the same or not once everybody is vaccinated, or most people allow themselves to be vaccinated. I still haven't seen a film in a theater. I've directed a play and I've acted in a play, but somehow I'm not quite comfortable to go into a movie theater yet. Hopefully soon. I got my shot. Hopefully you'll get yours. But I wonder if it's ever going to be the same way. This is the man who's still really bummed out that the Family Video in his hometown, in his resident town, is now closed. Now I just got, you got streaming and Redbox, and that's it. Anyway, back to this. All right, let me get the snubs out of the way. Whew, wrong movie, wrong category. The big one for me is Delroy Lindo. I know he was my vote for the best male performance this year for his work in Spike Lee's The Five Bloods, and also the fact that Ma Rainey, which was my number two film of the year, no nominations for picture or for screenplay or director. That kind of bums me out. That being said, so I guess the question is, whenever I say somebody gets snubbed, who do you replace? I probably would have replaced either Gary Oldman in Mank or Steven Yeun in Minari. They're fine performances, but I really liked Delroy Lindo's better. And there are still a handful of films I need to check out. There's still ones I haven't seen, like Sound of Metal, like Judas and the Black Messiah, and what was really cool is one of the things about streaming was obviously smaller films got a chance to be seen by a wider audience, and it got more eyes on Academy voters. Films like Another Round. Congratulations to Thomas Vinterberg for getting a director nomination. Promising Young Woman, which is now out on video this week, although I think that would have gotten some of the some carry there. But especially Minari, Sound of Metal, United States versus Billie Holiday. I think One Night in Miami benefited from being obviously streaming. Borat subsequent movie film. Some of them that look like Oscar fodder, like The Father, like Mank. Mank is fine. I just don't think it's great, and I don't think it's the worst. So I just happen to be a fan of Citizen Kane, and Fincher's done better. Looks cool though. Hopefully more people will be checking out Wolfwalkers, is one of the animated feature films. Really happy for Time getting a nomination in the documentary category. So, And, you know, Nomadland was my number one film, and that's all over the place when it comes to the nominations. So, yeah, and it's going to be April 25th, and I guess I'll be streaming it at home. So, anyway, I'll be breaking this down a little more. And as I say every year with the Academy Awards, if it gets more people interested in checking out these films, or, you know, for very petty purposes, you can gripe about what films you love that didn't get in and this one did. Have at it. So anyway, yeah, congratulations to the nominees. And we'll see how the ceremony goes this year. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Going into home video, for stuff I got to watch from Cornet Films. This was a film from 2014. And it's a Greek drama called Little England. And this is a throwback to set in Odessa, Greece in 1930. We have a woman who is in love with a young sailor, domineering mom. They don't want to tell her because she was married to a captain who was a sea captain who was never at home. Mom's trying to arrange all of the marriages for all of the daughters. And what happens when mom finds out about Orsa's love? Another daughter marries a captain. This is an old school family historic epic. It's not a war film, but it's what happens with war and the family. And we have a tangled web of love for marriage tied in with a marriage for convenience. So, again, if you like old school family war dramas, but it stays at home, check out Little England from Cornet Films. Also on Cornet is a film called The Interrogation, and it's based on the autobiography of Rudolf Hess, and it's him being interrogated in prison for his war crimes. It's basically a two-man show, writer-director Erez Pre. I would love to see this as a play because it is, despite the two performances, it is a little dry film-wise. You probably get more crackling energy seeing these two actors, Romanus Furman and Mecha Marskowitz, and I'm butchering those names. Sorry about that. But it would be interesting energy to see this show live. And obviously, it's Hess doesn't want to talk, but the interrogator works his skills, and eventually a conversation sort of happens. It does open up a little bit, especially on the interrogator's part, on how this is not really just another job, but it's a job that's very, very affecting his existence and how it gets into his head. And Hess is obviously very good about answering questions, but getting around the real answering the real questions, which obviously happens about halfway through. It's 79 minutes. I just would have liked a little more energy on that. And from Omnibus Entertainment, a very cool documentary about the creative process. You know, I'm a sucker for those. That Click, the legendary photography of Douglas Kirkland. Now, all you have to do is go on Google Image and do Douglas Kirkland photography. You've seen his work in one way, shape, or form. And it's a kind of a throwback to where he says it's photography versus taking snaps, because everybody can take pictures now. You can take pictures on your phone. You can make movies on your phone. When I started out doing blues festival photography or blues performances as far as camera work, I never said I was a photographer. I always said I was a writer who takes pictures and occasionally get lucky. You have a lot of talking heads in this. Nicole Kidman, Sharon Stone, Michelle Williams, Elle Fanning, Andy Garcia, Baz Luhrmann, Virginia Madsen. And seeing not only the history of Kirkland, but also his impact on photography and how his pictures tell a story. We get his rise to fame, and then he became known as the photographer of the stars, photographing everybody from Judy Garland to Marilyn Monroe to Anne Margaret, the one with her on a chopper in Las Vegas. That's a personal favorite. But it talks about how the photographer is also the director in his studio. One of the things he did that I did not know about, and this really fascinated me, was going to Detroit in 1975 and following a family whose husband was just laid off, and it's winter, she's pregnant, black and white, cold, and just really powerful photography from a place an hour south of where I grew up. So But very, very enjoyable. And if you're into great photography, it's worth checking out. So Omnibus Entertainment, That Click, the legendary photography of Douglas Kirkland. And because Wednesday was St. Patrick's Day, I fell back on one of my traditions cinematically was watching The Commitments. I didn't get a chance to do The Quiet Man. I showed that to the daughter last year, and it didn't go over so well. But and we talked about Irish cinema on Cocktails with Dee Dee Sorvino. You can check out her podcast, and we talk a little bit about those Irish films. But I love The Commitments. That's just a fun picture. And, never forget the original recordings that were done. All right. Before we get to your picks, before we get to what you watched recently, I want to do Dead People We Like, because we never have time for Dead People We Don't Like. And it's also incorporated into my viewing habits this past week. I didn't get a chance to mention this last week, and I'm sorry, of raising a glass to writer Norton Juster, who passed away at the age of 91. Obviously best known for the book The Phantom Toll Booth, which was made into a film, an animated film in 1970 with Chuck Jones. I need to revisit that because I don't remember responding to it a great deal. What I do love is the 1965 animated feature, The Dot and the Line, A Romance in Lower Mathematics. I remember seeing that at a young age and really enjoying the love story and the visuals of, and it's a short, I should say, not a feature. But look for 1965's The Dot and the Line, A Romance in Lower Mathematics. And because Yaphet Kotto passed away, I revisited Blue Collar, the directorial debut of Paul Schrader with Harvey Keitel, Richard Pryor, and Yaphet Kotto. That's the one where, Schaefer told all three actors that they were the star and they were butting heads from the get-go. But really good performance from Kotto. Also revisited Across 110th Street with he and Anthony Quinn, who was an executive producer on that, about a mob robbery done by some African-Americans dressed as cops. Quinn is the street-savvy, burnt-out detective. Yaphet Kotto is doing it by the book. But they really, really work off each other well. Going back, and Kotto was just one of those actors, always good, even if the material is not. First film, 1964's Nothing But a Man, that was directed by Ivan Dixon. Was in the original Thomas Crown Affair, Five Card Stud, The Liberation of L.B. Jones. Man and Boy got some really good notice for Larry Cohen's Bone in 1972. I mentioned Across 110th Street, and his follow-up was Kananga in Live and Let Die. So to be the first African-American villain, really, really good performance. And as many said, really cartoonish screen death in Live and Let Die. That's the only flaw with the Kotto performance is the way he dies. But that's not his fault. Kotto also appeared in Truck Turner, Friday Foster, Drum, The Monkey Hustle. I mentioned Blue Collar, of course, Alien, and Brubaker. There's a production of Othello from 1980, Fighting Back, The Star Chamber, Warning Sign, Eye of the Tiger, The Running Man. And yes, when he's allowed to do comedy, Alonzo Mosley, FBI, in 1988's Midnight Run, Martin Brest's film with Robert De Niro and Charles Grodin. Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare, The Puppet Masters, Two If by Sea. Of course, played Al on Homicide, Life on the Street, and the entire run of that. And even was Ricardo Bodie in Witless Protection with Larry the Cable Guy. Again, he's always good, even the material is not. So salute to Yaphet Kotto. Also heard about Leon Gass passing away, the director of When We Were Kings, the Academy Award-winning documentary about the Ali Foreman fight from 1974. Some of his other credits include Our Latin Thing from 1972, Because of the Fight, The Rumble in the Jungle, B.B. King Live in Africa from 1974, Salsa from 1976, Hell's Angels Forever from 1983, Jump Shot from 2004, and Smash's Camera from 2010. And finally, on the Dead People We Like list, actress Nicola Paget, who passed away at the age of 75, working actress, stage, television, movies. Best known for being Elizabeth Kerbridge, later Elizabeth Bellamy, on the series Upstairs, Downstairs, but appeared in films like The Viking Queen, Anne of a Thousand Days, There's a Girl in My Soup. I remember seeing this on TV, Frankenstein, The True Story, Operation Daybreak, Oliver's Story, the 1977 miniseries of Anna Karenina, and Dottie Blundell in An Awfully Big Adventure. So salute to you, Nicola. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Before we grab a pencil, some of the streaming events happening at IU Cinema. Oh, man. Through March 24th, John Waters, Multiple Maniacs. There you go. Running through March 31st, Daughters of the Dust from 1991. Tuesday, March 23rd is a special virtual event of the 1959 drama Room at the Top. Thursday, March 25th, a special virtual event at 7 p.m. of the 2020 documentary The Donut King. Tuesday, March 30th, special virtual event at 7 p.m., Flame Keeper, the Michael Cleveland story. Tuesday, April 6th, special virtual event, 7 p.m. Short film programs include The I and S of Lives, Like a Star, Crow Requiem, and T. There's a word I can't say. April 9th, special virtual event, a world premiere. Friday, April 9th at 7 p.m., Double Exposure 2021, a virtual presentation of new short films with new scores created by student filmmakers and composers from the Media School and Jacobs School of Music. And Saturday, April 17th, a world premiere special virtual event at 7 p.m., Grass, A Nation's Battle for Life, the 1925 documentary. And Fellini's Amarcord on Tuesday, April 20th at 7 p.m. Hopefully, I'm going to finish up. I started Fellini's Roma. I will hopefully get back to the Fellini box set for next week's program. All right, we start. Grab a pencil. I'll wait. Got it? Okay. We start... As usual, on email from my buddy Eric, who's continuing his Alfred Hitchcock series. His rewatch was 1964's Marnie, which he deemed excellent. 1969's Topaz, which he deemed good. He admits he couldn't get himself to watch The Torn Curtain. That happens. Son of Frankenstein from 1939, which he deemed good plus. The Ghost of Frankenstein from 1942, which he deemed good. So there you go. Going over to Twitter, Scott writes Borat's subsequent movie film, Driving Miss Daisy, The United States versus Billie Holiday. Brian writes Overlord from 2018. Creighton Duke writes, Daughters of Darkness, Peeping Tom, and the new Blu-ray reissue of Pump Up the Volume, all first-time watches. Congratulations. Beer Babe, Carrie, she writes, you know we like our noir. Before the Storm, Ronald Reagan is a Klan-fighting small-town prosecutor. Doris Day and Ginger Rogers in noir? Yes, please. Thank you, Carrie. I swear I'll come to see you at work sometime. I swear. Carrie writes, George Clooney's The Midnight Sky. I didn't hate it. Congratulations. Mike writes, Chaos Walking. Questionable plot points, but still entertaining. Holland and Ridley were solid, and Mads Mikkelsen is solidifying his bad guy image even more. Until you watch another round, Mike, that will change, because he kind of works all over the place, I hope. And hopefully he will. All right, heading over to Facebook, going to last week's post. Because it's Facebook, they have this habit of posting old posts at odd, weird times. So I have folks that will go onto last week's notice and give me their picks there. I can't fight social media. All right, so we go to last week's post, and we start with RJ, who writes, Flora Sponsor Jenkins. Bess writes The Maltese Falcon for the bazillionth time. Nothing wrong with that. Lila writes Moxie. Jose writes Nomadland. Teresa writes Now You See Me. Lila also chimes in, saw Lazy Susan last night. Allison Janney was as flawless as ever. Perhaps the movie will revive Kmart's career. I mean, those boots. Lawrence writes The Original In-Laws with Alan Arkin and Peter Falk. Always Serpentine. Never forget the Serpentine, friends. Joe writes Longmire, seasons 4 and 5. Jeff writes The Five Bloods. Susan writes Hidden Figures. Carrie writes The Age of Adeline, and she deemed it really good. Joe also writes Alexander, the director's cut, the 2004 director's cut. Andrew Fay writes Searching, Mr. Brooks, and The Wave. Simone writes Justice League Snyder Cut. Britt writes On the Town, Coming to America, John Wick and John Wick 2, Inception, Whip It, Dark City, Yes Day, The Hateful Eight, The A-Team, and In Time. Devin writes Boys State. Jamie writes Harry Potter 1 through 5. Haven't seen them in a while, so I'm watching through again. Just fills me with magical joy. Thank you, Doctor. Chris writes, rewatch The Father, Hopkins at his finest. Yeah, I'm really glad Hopkins and Coleman got nominations for The Father, and that film is, again, picking up some steam. And it's a hard watch. It can be a really, really hard watch, but but what he has to go through with dementia, and of course, as I mentioned before, it's happened in our family recently, so it's really hard from home. So you've been warned. Because it's St. Patrick's Day, Clay writes The Quiet Man. Nancy writes Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, Sound of Metal, One Night in Miami. Carrie writes Four Weddings and a Funeral. Jim writes Tell Me Who I Am, Hillbilly Elegy, and Falling Down. And yes, Glenn Close got a Academy Award nomination for Hillbilly Elegy and also got a Razzie Award. That's just how it works sometimes, friends. The Razzie Awards are really snarky. And apparently there are no leads in Judas and the Black Messiah. It's just a giant ensemble piece. Krista writes, rewatch Trainspotting and watch the sequel for the first time. Not sure why I'd never seen it. It happens. And there you go. Chris Lloyd writes X-Men Apocalypse, The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey, The Courier, Cul-de-Sac, Paint, and Wolverine. Dan writes Best in Show. Ken writes, watching Zack Snyder's Justice League, epic. Monica writes, Pirates of the Caribbean, the original, and Snow White and the Huntsman. Tony writes, The Godfather, Class Relations, and Excalibur. Ariana writes, Cherry, The Peanut Butter Falcon, Captain Fantastic, and Palm Springs. Maria writes Boondock Saints, and somewhere a boy freshman in college has that poster on his dorm wall. James writes Trading Places. Kevin writes Big Night and Good Night and Good Luck. Criterion, please release Big Night. Give it the Criterion treatment. Big Night deserves it. Frankie writes The Conjuring 2 and Tombstone. Adrian writes I Care a Lot and Marnie. Melissa writes One Night in Miami and Fantasy Island. Stephen writes Stanley Kubrick's Lolita and Handsome Devil for St. Patrick's Day. Thank you, Stephen. Nancy writes T2 and Trainspotting. Abby writes Hidden Figures, Don't Talk to Irene, Children of the Corn, Judas and the Black Messiah, Beloved, When a Stranger Calls, Where'd You Go, Bernadette, and Kid 90. Judy writes Vice and the Mrs. America miniseries. Eric writes Chinatown for the first time. Woo! And the one who emails, chimes in one of my top 10 favorite movies. Wow. Terry also chimes in solidly ensconded in my top 5 favorite films. Yeah, I need to revisit that. It's been a while. Don't know if I can get the family to watch it. Carrie writes The Commitments, Chicago, the 25th anniversary of Les Mis, and the 25th anniversary of Phantom of the Opera. There you go, Kayla. Joe writes Apollo 13, Attack the Block, and Hard Rain. Mary writes The Blue Gardenia. Rachel writes Lagan. My favorite Bollywood musical, Rachel, Lagan, also known as Once Upon a Time in India, a 3-hour Bollywood musical about a cricket match between the English and in a small Indian village and the English soldiers. Look for it. It's great. Rachel also watched The Mystery of the Wax Museum and The Last Outpost. Janet writes The Dead Don't Die, Hampstead, The Whole 10 Yards, The French Connection, Reality Bites, Some Like It Hot, and Giant. Randy writes The Robot versus the Aztec Mummy, probably the worst film I've ever seen. Randy, that's in the team photo. It's a big team photo, but if you read books about bad cinema, like I do, Robot versus the Aztec Mummy pops up a lot. So way to go. Johnny writes, Far Western, documentary about Japanese musicians who fell in love with American country music right after World War II. Very good, Johnny Iguana of the Claudettes and Johnny Iguana fame. Go to Delmark Records or the Claudettes or look up Johnny Iguana and check out his music. I love Johnny. Johnny's a really good guy. He also sent me the longest list, which I think I only read portions of. So sorry, Johnny, but I'm plugging you again. Always good to hear from you. Keep doing what you're doing. So Patty writes The Mad Magician, Muppets Most Wanted, The Private Lives of Sherlock Holmes, and Enola Holmes again. Evan writes, Bring Me the Head of Alfredo Garcia. Lori writes Barefoot in the Park. Julia writes The Parent Trap, On Her Majesty's Secret Service, and Come September. That's Julia Ricci, of course. How you doing, Julia? Kevin writes The Skeleton Twins. Nick writes Man of Steel, Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, Iron Man, 2017's Justice League, Honest Thief, 1492 Conquest of Paradise, Shattered, Nobody, and Someone to Watch Over Me. Somebody was on a Ridley Scott streak there, Nick. Nick Rogers. John writes Capone, Gotti, the new one with Travolta, and Miller's Crossing. It's not exactly new, but it is the one with Travolta. I know what you mean. Jackie writes The United States versus Billie Holiday, Kid 90, and Hillbilly Elegy. Laura writes 24-Hour Party People. Molly writes Coming to America, The Freshman, Borat's subsequent movie film, The Sapphires. Oh, I'm glad you saw that, Molly. I like that one, too. The Last Blockbuster and Blythe Spirit from 2020. Missy writes, started Mr. Mercedes and continuing Shameless, as is my daughter. Scott writes, just watched Zack Snyder's Justice League. Erica writes Catwoman on the Moon and Pressure Point by Time Chasers, Wonder Kid, David Giancola, both riff tracks. All right, way to go, Chief. Mario writes The Sting, The Shining, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and Thunderball. Joe Shearer writes Biggie, I Got a Story to Tell, Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, Ultimate, so that must mean the director's cut, Justice League 2017, and Magnolia. Oh, and by the way, it's Biggie, I Got a Story to Tell. I think I put a comma on that when it should have been something else. Jessica writes, Notting Hill needed some sweetness this week. All right, Jessica. Austin writes, Austin Glidden of Medium Cool Podcast, Point Break, another slow week. Sam chimes in, all I've watched this week is an hour of In the Line of Fire. That's all right. Abby writes, League of Their Own and Coming to America. And, of course, There's No Crying in Baseball. Andrew writes, Temple Grandin. Roxana writes, Coming to America. Anthony chimes in, really disappointing film. Yeah, I Coming to America recycled jokes as much as Airplane 2, the sequel. That's how much. Debbie writes Arrival, enjoyed it. Deb writes Sound of Metal and Minari. Don writes Gordon Lightfoot, If You Could Read My Mind, The Story of Rod Stewart, Chuck Lavelle, The Tree Man, and then writes Thanks to You. Thank you. Of course, Chuck was a guest on the show recently. The USS Indianapolis, Lizzie, and Coming to America. Andrew writes Roma. Doug writes The Great Lover, Woman of the Year, Another Round, Eurovision Song Contest, The Story of Fire Saga, and they got a Best Song nomination. Congrats to them. The Father and Promising Young Woman. Helen writes, we talked about it, but Nomadland. Yes, you did. Scott writes Soul, thoroughly enjoyed. Cassie writes, I've been watching lots of documentaries on cryptids in America. Nothing wrong with that. John writes, My Octopus Teacher, which also got a nomination. Jay writes, No movies this week. We've been watching lots of Reno 911. Nothing wrong with that. Margaret writes, Finished watching Trial of the Chicago 7. Old folks like me know history is repeating itself. I know, Margaret. Michael writes, Here's my list. Coming to America, I Care a Lot, 7500, All is True, You Are Never Really Here, Sound of Metal, Official Secrets, and Wolf Walkers. And congrats again to Wolf Walkers. someday it'll be up against something that's not Pixar or Disney. The animators. Dustin writes, A Star is Born, 1954. Finian's Rainbow, of course, 1968. Fargo, The Pixar Story, A Single Man, Waiting for Superman, Cymbeline. Ah, I have that one too, Dustin. Way to go. And The Florida Project. Kurt writes, on the day of Yaphet Kotto's death, I revisited Midnight Run and came to the understanding that it is cinematic comfort food of the highest order and absolutely one of my favorite films. And Terry chimes in, it's absolutely a heck of a lot of fun. I haven't watched it in quite some time, but would wager I've seen it more than 15 times. It might very well be another rewatch in the near future. Yeah, Terry, I get you. And Kurt, I get you too. I've been known to do that. I did... When that film came out, that was the summer I graduated high school. So the summer of 88, there were two films that I saw more than anything that summer. And it was that, it was Midnight Run and A Fish Called Wanda. And both films had the effect on me of when somebody said they hadn't seen it, I would take their wrist and say, let's go see it. And we would. Most of the time. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. We did watch it at the beginning of the quarantine. Emma had not seen it before, and she really enjoyed it, and it still holds up. Maybe not in the world of cell phones and computers, but you get what I mean. Lisa writes Enola. RJ writes The Song of Names. Daniel writes The Fortune, Roman Holiday, Bell Book and Candle, Captain Fantastic, First Wives Club, The Razor's Edge. Daniel, I don't know which one you would watch, the original or the remake. I'm going to trust you on that one. Coming to America, The Black Rose, and The Last Metro. Taylor writes Shin Godzilla, Man of Steel, Batman vs. Superman, both in preparation for the Snyder Cut release, Kong Skull Island, and Booksmart. Booksmart, not for the Snyder Cut release. Mark writes Seven Psychopaths. Wayne writes, the Snyder Cut was great. We re-binged all the Snyderverse movies, including the much better extended cut of Batman vs. Superman. Okay. Taylor also chimes in, the ultimate cut of Batman vs. Superman is really good. Matt writes, I drove past a crew filling in potholes yesterday, and it was reminiscent of the road tarring scene from Cool Hand Luke, so I gave it a visit. And yep, nobody can eat 50 eggs. And I got to get Mrs. Sosie to wash the car. Terry writes Orpheus, Sudden Fear, Midnight Lace, The Inland Sea, Rabid, and Joint Security Area. Kay writes a French Village series. Phil writes Patterson, the Jim Jarmusch film. Lisa writes The Green Mile and The Princess Bride. Got to share that with a first-timer. Oh, very cool. Very, very cool. Why not? I don't think I've... I can't remember if I've told this, and if I have not, I'm sorry. I'm old. It's my podcast. The Princess Bride was smeared in my head for a long time because I went on a really bad double date. My date wanted nothing to do with me. My best friend and his date, they were all over each other. My date got dropped off early, and I waited in the car while my best friend said goodnight to his date for a long time. So because of that experience, I didn't watch The Princess Bride for a long time. And then finally I got over myself, Mrs. Sosia will do that to you, and revisited it, and everything was fine. So I guess as a reminder, friends, don't let a bad experience, and I get them. I've talked to friends that they were just in a bad emotional, physical state, and they lump a film with it. I say if you have one of those, try to revisit it now that things are better. At least I hope they're better. And see if the film is any better for you. So there's your 2 cents. These are your pledge dollars at work. All right, back to the list. Wrapping up here fairly soon. Mulveen writes The German Lesson, An Angel at My Table, Beyond the Visible, The Art of Hilma F. Klint. John writes It Happened One Night. Judith writes Watch Pal Joey. Awesome music. I'm sure the play was so much better. I've never seen it on stage, so I'll take your word for it. Christina writes I'm watching the National Parks documentary series, Antsy the Travel and Hike. Christina, I understand. Robert Muggy writes Another Round, Collective, Promising Young Woman, Remember, it's on video this week. I Care a Lot and Better Days. Thank you, Robert. Kathleen writes, Shane, The Godless Series, and The Lovely Bones. Pat writes, Zack Snyder's Justice League. Ron writes, Nomadland. Oh, by the way, Ron, congratulations on your current, your most recent news event. Very good. Adam writes, Godzilla, King of Monsters. David writes, The Father, Promising Young Woman, and The Expendables 2. David, I were those in a, were those, was that a triple feature? I'm going to say no, but I like to say yes. Steve writes, St. Paddy's Day means the Boondock Saints. No, it doesn't, but it did for you. Sure. Dee Dee Servino, who I've talked about, said, just want to say Coming to America sucks. We revisited that. Paul and I have the tradition of watching The Quiet Man every year on St. Patrick's Day. We also watch Kill the Irishman because Paul plays the mob boss. Thank you, Dee Dee. Thank you, Paul. I will say this about Cocktails with Dee Dee. Go look for it. But I want to thank Paul Servino and Dee Dee, one, for letting me come on the show, go on the podcast and do like this, only shorter. And Paul leaves the podcast whenever he wants. And he was about ready to take off. And I asked him if he would do a little bit of Danny Boy, and he did. And it was cool. Everybody got dead silent and kind of geeked out. He also said he normally takes him 20 minutes to warm up to do a number like that, but still sounded good. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Dee Dee. Callie writes, Wrong Turn, the remake of Wrong Turn, the reboot that just happened this year. Michelle writes, The Lincoln Lawyer. Deborah writes, all right, Deborah, this is what happens when I don't read ahead. I haven't watched any movies this past week, looking for recommendations. Deborah, read the Facebook post that you are in. Thank you. Doug writes, as I comment, we're watching Breakfast at Tiffany's for the first time. Just don't think about Mickey Rooney. Kathy writes, China Beach, the four-year series. I got to watch that last year, Kathy, and because I had not seen it before. I knew a handful of episodes, but I was in college at the time, so my TV watching skills were not very good. And Mark Helgenberger and Dana Delaney, that's yeah, that's special. Carol writes, The United States versus Billie Holiday. Pamela writes, Let Him Go, The Manchurian, and Nomadland. Guy writes, Forrest Gump. I can watch it over and over as a storyline and music are roadmaps for my life. Jose writes, Water Walker. Marshall writes, Marshall Terrell, hey. A great independent film called Body Brokers. Rachel writes, Lilo and Stitch, Something Borrowed, and School of Rock. James writes, Lisa and the Devil, and Just Before Dawn. And finally, Barry writes, St. Maud, and deemed it excellent. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so, so much. Friends, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. There's plenty out there. Hope you're staying safe. Hope you're staying healthy. Hope you're staying sane. Hope you're being good to one another. And hopefully you're finding some good films to watch, whether they are new or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. And again, it's a year, and I want to thank everybody who has written to me on Facebook, Twitter, my email, and rattling off titles. It's better than nothing, and we're all into this. We're all in this together as well. So, and thanks for putting up with me. I need you guys just as much as you need me when it comes to this podcast, I assure you. All right, so we'll try this again next week. Hopefully some special guests will be coming up in the next couple of programs. We'll just have to see if they're available. So until next time, take care, everybody. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What kind of parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!